want everyone to, I want us all to be together. I want to, so that when we are praying, you know, people, it's very important for us when we are praying to pray with understanding. It's very, very important for us to pray with understanding. Very, very important. Hallelujah. So this morning, I just want to speak briefly about the Holy Spirit. So if you want to give it a title, it will be "The Holy Spirit, Our Friend and Partner for Life." I have about 4 or 5 pages of my notebook that I've written down what I wanted to say, but I sense that the Holy Spirit is not going to take us through that route. I can sense it, because during the worship, I had to sit down because I was practically shaking. And I thought, is it because I've not eaten? But I don't think so. I believe it's because the Spirit of God is here. And he's here to do amazingly great things today. Amen. So, when we were praying during the retreat last year, the Lord gave us a word for February, which is friendship and partnership with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're running with. We're not only running with it for February, we're running with it throughout our lifetime. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is not someone you use and dump, okay? You don't use God. Amen. So you don't use him for when he pleases you, and then when you get what you want from him, you leave him. Before I go on, I don't do this normally, actually, but I sense that I should do it. I just want to appreciate my husband of almost 22 years. I appreciate you and I love you. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Is the Spirit of Jesus. And is the third person of the Trinity. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not wind. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. The Holy Spirit is a person with feelings. It can be grieved. So if you want to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, just as you are in a relationship with Jesus, so are you with the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, 1 John 5, 7 says, there are 3 that bear record in heaven. Can I have 1 John 5, 7, please? Thank you. There are 3 that bear record. What's going on? Okay, thank you. For there are 3 that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are what? They are one. So it's not, like I said the last time, it's not as if you have tall, taller, tallest. And then the Holy Spirit is the smallest one, and then Jesus is the next one, and the Father is the highest. No, they are one. They are the same. It's just that their ways of manifesting to us are different. They come in different dispensations. But if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, what does it say? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So from the beginning of creation, the Holy Spirit has been there. And throughout the dispensations, he has been there. But we are so blessed that in our lifetime, during our own time, the Holy Spirit actually resides in us. From Genesis to, what's the last book in the Old Testament? Sorry, Malachi. You see, the Spirit of God will come upon them, and then he will leave them. It will come upon them, and he will go. It will come, and then he will go. But then, when Jesus came, amazingly, in John chapter 14, from verses 16 to 18, John 14, 16 to 18, Jesus comes and tells us that he's going to go. But when he goes, somebody else is going to come permanently. John chapter 14, verse 16. So it's not as if now the Holy Spirit comes and he goes. When Jesus introduced him to us in John chapter 14, 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be abide with you forever." Please, I like King James. So please, can you give me King James? Thank you. Okay. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." 18. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So that is Jesus introducing the Holy Spirit to us. And for me personally, I remember giving my life to Christ over 21 years. No, that's not right. It's over 21 years ago, because my son is 21 next month. 1991. How many years is that? Okay. So, a lot of years ago, anyway. And I wanted to know God more. Then I gave my heart to Jesus at the age of 21 or something. So people are calculating my age now. I wanted to know God more. I really, really wanted to. I wanted to experience God like I saw men of God. And I was like, what do they have that I don't have? What is it that makes them the way they are? People like Benin, Pastor Adeboye. And I remember watching that and I'm like, And then I came across one of Benny Hinn's tapes. Then we used to have cassettes, okay? And then some of us that are old, we know what cassettes are. And then I came across this book, and I listened to Benny Hinn, and he was always talking about the Holy Spirit. And I was like, the way this man talks about the Holy Spirit, it's as if the Holy Spirit lives in his house. It's as if he's so close to him. I want that closeness. I'm craving for it. I need it. How do I get it? Knowing fully well that I give my heart to Jesus, but nobody ever told me that I could have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. The only thing I probably knew about the Holy Spirit was like speaking in tongues. But the Holy Spirit is much more than just speaking in tongues. That's just the evidence that you are filled. There's so much more about the Holy Spirit. So I remember coming across a book by Benny Hinn that he wrote years ago called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I remember reading this book and I was like, wow, okay, so that is it. So I can actually talk to the Holy Spirit like I talk to Jesus. So I can actually pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help me. Nobody ever told me this. So I can actually be in my room, lock myself, shut the door, and hear the Holy Spirit speak to me and minister to me. And where does God speak to us? God speaks to our mind, your thoughts. That's why you have to keep your mind pure. If you want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, your mind has to be pure. Your life has to be pure. You have to ask for help from God daily to help you to be pure, because it's a pure spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. So the Holy Spirit will never make you afraid. Remember what Jesus said where we just read? He said, "I will send you a comforter." So that means that somebody who's a comforter is so somebody who's coming to comfort you, to help you when you're down, when you're weak. You know, that's the comforter. So I don't know what's happening to the mic, but it seems to be going down. So we all need to constantly develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Practically every day you have to speak to him. Remember, I said it's not an it, it's not a wind. It manifests as wind, it can manifest as a dove when it came upon Jesus after Jesus was baptized. It can be anything he wants to be, because the Holy Spirit is God. Remember, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and who is the Word of God? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says these three are one. So the same respect you are called to the Father and the Son is the same respect you are called to the Holy Spirit, even greater. Because Jesus said somewhere that if you say any sinful words against him, he might be forgiving you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, Jesus said you will not be forgiven. I'm still wondering why in this world there must be something about the Holy Spirit, and there is something about the Spirit of God. We need to be able to hear the Holy Spirit's voice, because like I said before, all of us, we struggle. We're struggling at the moment. We're not bold to go out and declare the gospel. We're not bold to share the word of God with people. We're not even bold to speak in class. When you're in class, when you're in a group of your classmates and they are speaking, you are shy. It's because you don't have the Holy Spirit. Years ago, I couldn't stand in front of people like this. I couldn't. I'll be shaking. I remember the first time my pastor then told me that I should come and teach Sunday school. I begged him for like 1 hour. I was like, why me? Please, I cannot do it. I cannot look at people's faces. I'm so shy. I will be saying rubbish. He said, yes, go and say the rubbish there. The rubbish. And I got, and that's when I began to understand who the Holy Spirit is to me. That it is not about me. It's about him and what he can do through me and in me. So it's not about who I am. It's about who God has made me to be and the person he has called to be alongside me to help me. And the person that God has called alongside me and you to help us is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in that John 14 that we read, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to send you another comforter. If Jesus, after he was baptized at the River Jordan, if he could, if the Spirit of God had to come upon the Son of God, if the Spirit of God had to come upon the Son of God to baptize him, for him to be able to do the assignment that God had given him, how much more you and I? We need the Holy Spirit more than ever before. And we have reduced the Holy Spirit to just speaking in tongues. You don't know that we need inventions from you people. Those of you that have things to do with chemicals and in laboratories, you need to go back and ask the Holy Spirit. The greatest inventors of our time, all of them were believers. Am I right? Isaac Newton, all of them. Go and check them out. They were Christians. So why are 21st century Christians not inventing? Because we have left the Holy Spirit. We are not putting on a show. The Holy Spirit will tell you the drugs you need to cure cancer. That thing in your office, in the business you're doing, that everybody, that knot that anybody cannot untie, the Holy Spirit will tell you how to untie it. The Holy Spirit will tell you who to marry. When it comes to marriage nowadays, we don't want to listen to God anymore. She's cute, I'm cute. Let us get married. Marriage is more than being cute. It's much more than being cute. Because in the next 20 years, it might not be cute anymore. In the next 25 years, she might not be cute anymore. But the only thing that will remain inside the two of you, the Spirit of God, that will continue to lead you and instruct you. Because I see that Christians, we have reduced the Holy Spirit to church. We have reduced the Holy Spirit only to church, to spiritual things. When the Bible says that the Spirit of God will teach you all things. Did he say only the things of God? No. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So if you are a student today, children of nowadays are not being condescending. You don't carry no books on your phone. Put it whatever. If you are in uni, I want you to put it on your phone whereby you will see it, whether on OneNote or whatever. The Holy Spirit will teach me and then put the course you're studying after it. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit. Do it right now, because I'm going to go around and see. Students, I know the people who are studying here. Just put whatever the course you are studying, put beside it, the Holy Spirit will teach me. Because the Holy Spirit is not only about spiritual things. He's not here to teach us only about spiritual things. He's here to teach you about your career. It's here to teach you about your workplace. It's here to teach you about every aspect of life, how you would navigate life as a child of God. That's what he has been sent to us to do. And it's a personal choice we have to make to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to us when we accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. You know, because without the Holy Spirit, you'll not get saved anyway. Because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sins. John 16. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sins. So the initial sin. So if you are here this morning and you don't understand any of these things I'm saying about the Holy Spirit, then you need to take the first step. You need to surrender your heart and your mind, your life to Jesus. Then after that, you ask for the Holy Spirit. And if you don't speak in tongues immediately, that's fine. That doesn't mean you are less. God deals with every one of us in different ways. But you just wait upon God, because you need that strength as well when you're speaking in tongues, because you need it. We all do. So for you to be in communion fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you have to study the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit is God. And this is not blasphemy. The Holy Spirit, you know, some of our theology are like, yes, the Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So it's not as if the Holy Spirit's godness is lesser than the godness of Jesus, if there's any grammar like that. They are the same. You know, and when I read Good Morning, Holy Spirit, it actually made me to understand. And Benny Hinn used this analogy. As you're looking at me here, to some of you, Buru Alao Laoye, that's my name, okay? To Pastor Fola, who am I? To Noah, who am I? Are there three of me? There's only one of me. But when it comes to him, I'm his wife. When it comes to Noah and Joshua, I'm their mom. When it comes to my dad and my mom, I'm their daughter. It's still the same me. So God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, three in one, with different mannerism, characteristics, but they work together. Just like you have a light bulb there, you know, if you have a light bulb in the house, you know, the Holy Spirit is the power. So if you are looking at the light bulb, so God the Father is the light bulb, then Jesus is all the ingredients inside the light bulb, and then when you switch it on, the power for that light bulb to bring out light is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the powerhouse behind the Trinity. So they are one. They are one. Because we have treated him as if he's less. He's not less. And when Jesus was leaving, like we saw, he's the one that has been given to be with us. I have to run now because I want to get out of the way. So John 14:16-17 introduces the Holy Spirit as the one who has been called to stand beside you. Paracletos is our comforter. Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit is our helper. For when we do not know how to pray, some of us will be saying, I'm always finding prayer in struggle. That's because you've not asked for the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Romans 8:26. What does it say? 26, yeah, thank you. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Give us in like NLT. Do you have NLT? And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many of us are weak? I'm very weak, in fact. You know, sometimes you do things and you're like, Wura, why did you do that? Why did you speak like that? Because we're human. We're weak. Sometimes you want to pray. It's when you want to, you might have been on Netflix, right? For like 2 hours, you are fine. Immediately you kneel down to pray, you start dozing off. So that's human beings for you. That's with the way we are. But the Bible says, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And because God is praying for you and helping you to pray, you pray beyond what you even know the prayers you would have prayed with your understanding that you cannot even remember or you've forgotten, the Holy Spirit will remind you. So the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. He's our helper. Ask for his help. So I speak to the Holy Spirit. That's one thing I've learned. Even from the tiniest thing as which bus to take, which job to go for, what to do, what clothes to wear, what not to wear, how to do my hair, how not to do my hair. I ask the Holy Spirit what to eat and what not to eat. You know, sometimes if the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you have to lose weight, you are not listening. The doctor would say you have to lose weight. So sometimes we even listen to our doctors more than the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is our helper. Ask him for help concerning your studies if you are a student here. Ask him for help regarding your marriage, regarding your career, regarding every tiny aspect of your life. He has been given to you, but you are not utilizing him. You are not using him. Let me use that word. You are not in tune with him. You are not in partnership with him. You are not in fellowship with him. We go and do our own things. It's only when we are filled that we now remember that he is there. So we pray in Jesus' name. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher. In John chapter 14, verse 26, is our teacher. He will teach you all things. You think the Holy Spirit cannot teach you what you're studying at uni? You're wrong. He can teach you. You've just not asked. You just hear a thought inside of you in your mind. Say, why don't you study this and this and that? Why don't you do it this way instead of doing it that way? And you were thinking, oh, is this my head? Is this my head? If you are a child of God, it's not your head. It's not your head. It's the Holy Spirit. And most of the times, the Holy Spirit's suggestions will sound stupid. They'll sound silly. I don't know if it's happened to you before. Everybody is going in direction A. And the Holy Spirit is telling you to go B. And you're looking at everyone, you're thinking, everyone is going A, why should I go B? Everyone is going A, let me just join them and go this way. And then you end up in A and you end up in trouble. And then you find out later that B was actually the best option. So we need to listen to the Holy Spirit at all times. The Holy Spirit is our strength. There have been so many times when I should have broken down. When I'm very weak physically, materially, financially. You know, I have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I've experienced what it means to be in communion with the Holy Spirit and where the Holy Spirit shows you things to come. Where without praying, I just thought of something in my heart and then I just see that thing in front of me. I didn't tell my husband, I didn't tell anyone. I just thought, I'll give an example because I want to be real and practical. And I'm not different from you. The same Holy Spirit inside of me is the same Holy Spirit inside of you. It's the same Holy Spirit inside our general overseer. It's just that the general overseer has learned how to sacrifice. And when you are in communion and constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he will ask you to sacrifice a lot of things. You have to sacrifice your time. Sometimes your pride. Sometimes your pride. I remember years ago, my brother-in-law was going to visit us and we didn't have money. And I was like, oh God, you know, how are we going to take care of him food-wise when he comes? And I just thought, you know, in my mind, I just started thinking. I didn't actually say, in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, give me this and that. I was just thinking. I thought about yam. Are you listening to me? Okay. So I thought about yam. That would be nice for some yams to be in the house when it comes. It would be nice for some different kinds of meat, just to treat him nice. Pepper, this and that. I just thought in my mind. I didn't say, in the name of Jesus, Father, give me yam. No, I didn't pray like that. I didn't pray, Jesus, I need meat. No, I just thought and I left it. And then I was in my house this night around 9 p.m. And there goes a knock on the door. The boys were much younger then, so normally, of course, they were downstairs watching whatever. So I told them to open the door. So this person kept on knocking. So I told them I'll come down. So I went down, opened the door. And there was this man carrying all these bags. And I was looking at him. I said, oh, sorry, I'm just coming to just drop this stuff for you. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. So I was shocked because normally, if somebody was to give you food, you think it's a woman, isn't it? And it was pouring, that was heavy. I wasn't expecting anybody in my house. Anyway, this person left. I didn't know what he brought. So he said, can you put the items he brought in the kitchen? So I said, yes. So he took them to the kitchen. So after he left, and I went, I opened the first bag, like 10 tubers of yam. I opened the second bag, fresh, you know, the meat that is fresh, not the one that is frozen, the fresh one that the blood is still on it, fresh beef, big. I was shocked. So I was thinking, who told him? Who told him that I needed these things? And immediately Ephesians 3:20 came to me. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that we ask or think. There's a last scripture. According to what? According to your prayer. What does the scripture say? According to the power that works in us. Please, who is the power? Who is the power that works in us? Oh, come on. Who is the power that works in us? Shall we rise up on our feet this morning as we begin to ask for that power? We need that power more than ever before. We need financial power in Liverpool to build our own arcade where we can hold our meetings without anybody dictating to us who we can bring and not bring, what we can preach and not preach. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, because the kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. According to the power, we are not utilizing the power that is inside of us. Can we go ahead this morning and begin to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives? Personally, all the children, can you come outside, please? Because sometimes I need you. I need the encouragement of the children. All the children from 7 and above, come out. Please line up in front of me. 7 and above. Guys, raise up your hands. Marakaba shekerebo, rikaba shekerebo shataya, maraba shakaraba shataya. From 7 to 18, please come out. Masekerebo shikaraba shataya, lekerebo shikaraba shataya, karaba shekeregebo. Lekerebo shikaraba shataya. Guys, I want you to raise up your hands. Masakara, close your eyes and raise up your hands and ask that the Holy Spirit will baptize you with His power this morning. You are our future. You are our hope. You are our hope for tomorrow. We need you to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need you guys to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need you to create things. We need you to make inventions. Close your eyes, everyone, and begin to ask for the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit this morning. Lekerebo, shekerebo, shataya. Mashekerebo shikaraba shataya. Mashekerebo shikaraba shataya. Adults, please don't be left out. Mashekerebo shikaraba shataya. Rekebo shataya. Krikaba shekerebo shataya. Maraba shekerebo shekerebo shataya. Karaba shekerebo. Close your eyes, Andrew, and pray. Nekerebo shikaraba shataya. Karaba shekerebo shataya. Lekerebo shikaraba shataya. Mashekerebo shataya. You guys in front, right? This is what you are going to do for me. I want you to close your eyes and God will begin to show you things. God will begin to show you things, okay? God will begin to speak to you. And when you have something to say, raise up your hand and I'll give you the microphone. Is that okay? Some of you will begin to see pictures. Some of you will be words. God needs to speak to us. God needs to baptize our children. Rekebo shikaraba sataya. Rekebo shikaraba sataya. Karaba sataya. Karaba sataya. Rekebo shikaraba shekerebo shikaraba sataya. Father, Lord God Almighty, we come upon you this afternoon. As Love Assembly, O God, we ask that you breathe upon us, O God. Breathe upon us, O God. Breathe upon us, O God. Breathe upon all these children in front. Breathe on all of us, the adults. Breathe, Lord. Rekebo shekerebo shekerebo sakarabababababababababababa. Lekerebo sakarabababababa shekerebo shataya. Masekerebo. Breathe, Lord. Malekebo. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Maraba shekerebo shataya. Lord, without you, we are nothing. Maraba shekerebo shataya. Masekerebo shikarabababababababa. Lord, I ask for all these young ones in front, oh God. Father, baptize them with your fire right now. Let your fire begin to burn in their bellies. Because without those ones, the church will not continue. We need them to be filled with your spirit, oh God. We need you to open their eyes, oh God, to see your power. Let your power, Jehovah, begin to flow in all our young people in Love Assembly, especially in this one standing right here, Lord. And our young people in the sub church, oh God, we receive your fire in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of God begin to blow in your bellies. Let the fire of God begin to form in your bellies. Let the fire of God begin to flow in your bellies. In the name of Jesus, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. Rekebo shataya karaba shekerebo shataya. Rekebo shikerebo shataya. Maraba shekerebo shikaraba shataya. Rakaba shekerebo shataya karaba shataya. Maraba shekerebo shikaraba shataya. Does anyone of you, is anyone of you seeing something? Can anyone see something? Naomi, are you shaking your head? Can you see something?